From the hallowed halls of Flood Law, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Flood Law. Flood Law, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. Time flies. Well, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to try to get it all in. Hopefully we can. We got several guests that are going to try to pop up tonight that are running for our local judges, both in the district court and the circuit courts around the Tri-County area. So we have a few that want to call in and get on the air. We want to educate all the voters. We want to make sure that everybody gets out and votes. And some of the most important positions we can vote for are those that sit on our bench deciding the strikes and balls in a courtroom and leveling the sentencings or the rulings out there. So we need to make sure all of our listeners are educated on that. And there's some tight races. And unfortunately, there's no secret about it. Most people don't know anything about the elected judges that they vote for. We want to make sure that if we can, we can give you some updates on some of the tight races and some thoughts about what judges have done in the past. So we got that going. We also have, all the news. We have obviously a case that I worked on. Now Kwame Kilpatrick, I want to hear from you, 1-800-859-0-WJR. Should he be pardoned, or should his sentence be taken down? Rumor and innuendos in the press and the like is that that's taking place. I'd love to hear from you, 1-800-859-0-WJR, on that topic. That's something of interest to a lot of people. Feel free. I want to hear about that, and we'll take your calls. We would discuss that at length. I have a lot to talk about on that. And now you have the feds. You have the feds coming in into Macomb County. And I will tell you, Barb McQuaid is one of the top U.S. attorneys in the country. She has a great team of people that investigate cases, prosecute cases. Great staff, and she's a great leader. Here she is now, and her team chiseling away at the corruption that has taken place in Macomb, as you can see it from the complaints and the people that have been charged. That's going to do nothing but gain momentum in that case. When you see federal charges coming down, it means that they have put the case together from A to Z. That's the hardest part for a prosecutor, is putting a case together from A to Z. They have to be thorough. They fortunately, on the federal side, unlike the state side, they have time to do that, and they do it right. And when they have indictments and charges, you're going to see the squeeze play taking place, the cooperators taking place, and the charges. So more than glad to talk about that. 1-800-859-0-WJR. We also have of national attention. The whole process, as we sit here and we watch this national election, you can't make it up. You can't. I want to hear someone that can tell me about an election that took place in their lifetime, or they can think of, that had this storyline behind it with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton. And now we have the FBI that went to Congress, the director, with notice about emails for which they found on Mr. Wiener's computer, and now have, in essence, stemmed some voters going maybe a different way, or making the undecideds go instead of towards Hillary, going towards an independent. But I will be more than glad to talk about the move there by the director to go in front of Congress, or at least give a letter to Congress to talk about that. And we have a friend that's been part of the show that is going to call in, hopefully from Yale Law School, to talk about the constitutional efforts that come under. Has this ever been done before? Has someone ever sent something into Congress, be it from a director of CIA, FBI, or wherever in the judicial system, Department of Justice, during the pendency of a of an election? Interesting history there about this, and I would welcome your questions to Behind the Bench, 1-800-859-0WJR. So, several topics to talk about, full agenda. Who knows if we can get through it? Maybe we can only get through a few. But one of the things that I think we can get into for sure is this local election here. I want to talk first and foremost about the Third Circuit Court. That's Wayne County. And whether or not name recognition means everything as opposed to substance of who the judge may or may not be in the winner's column when we come down to election day. So when we get back, we'll take those calls and address those issues. And we'll be right back with Behind the Bench and after that.
Flood Law Firms, Todd Flood.
In the news, we hear all too often about a tragic event affecting a family and creating major grief. What's worse is when the family is left without finding the truth. Who is responsible? How did it happen? And what are the rights within the bounds of law? At Flood Law, we pride ourselves with finding the truth and making sure all your rights are protected. You deserve a legal team that will fight to find the truth and hold accountable those responsible. Flood Law is committed to that mission with every case we touch.
Visit floodlaw.com.
Whenever the Paul W. Smith or Frank Beckman shows fly, they fly Delta Airline. Delta averages 375 daily flights from Detroit, more than any other airline. Book a Comfort Plus seat and you'll get more legroom, more recline, and premium entertainment and snacks. Delta also makes flying easy with the mobile app, where you can book a flight, track your bags, and keep in the loop on any flight delays or gate changes. When you book your flight for business or pleasure, fly Delta. Delta Airlines is the official airline of WJR. Book now at Delta.com. Delta, keep climbing.
In a world
where the only thing standing between you and a warm feeling inside is five cans of food.
Cannes Film Festival is just the beginning. WJR invites you to support Gleaners Food Bank as they support our community. The 2016 Cannes Film Festival. It's a holiday feel-good favorite. Donate five canned goods at participating MJR theaters 4 until 8 p.m. Wednesday, November 2nd. And the payback? A free first-run film. WJR's Cannes Film Festival. Locations and movie times at WJR.com.
NFL players need the best treatment available to manage their pain. Now, the same pain management that pros receive is available to you. I'm Jeff Morton, the director of Pain-Free Life Centers. People are learning to make us their first choice, not their last resort. That's because we are the leaders in laser pain management. And we're having success after success after success. If you suffer from back pain, arthritis, neuropathy, or any type of pain, we offer relief. No drugs, no injections, no surgery, no side effects. Pain-Free Life Centers is the only...
You're listening to Behind the Bench, radio's most comprehensive legal forum, where you ask the questions and Todd Flood provides informal counsel. Submit your legal questions at 800-859-0WJR and get to know Todd Flood at floodlaw.com. Now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. We're back. You know, one of the things that was in yesterday's paper that caught my eye, and I got John on the line. I'm going to get to you in a second, John, but that I have had cases with before, and it's in front of the United States Supreme Court, and it's a case where the court is going to hear whether or not this young girl is allowed to take or bring her dog. She has a physical challenge, and whether or not she can bring her dog to class. I'd love to talk about that. And it's something that I think not a lot of people understand how important these pets and these, you know, members of the family, the four-legged kind that take care of us in a lot of different ways, how important they really are. So, but anyway, and whether or not there's constitutional right, which I believe there is, for these dogs and others to animals to make sure that people are taken care of. Well, listen, John, I see you. Are you with me, John?
I'm right here.
Yep. My man. Thanks for listening, John. I hear you. You have a question on the Kwame Kilpatrick.
Not a question. It's basically my opinion on the situation. Number one, do I think the sentence was excessive? Yes. Because he's a fairly young guy, he still has some things to contribute to society. He's very smart. But one thing I think that should be required of him, which he has not done, is admit his guilt and just, you know, completely come clean. But the one thing that, now, Bobby Ferguson, I think he got exactly what he deserved because he was nothing but a thug.
Yeah.
He was an absolute thug. But you know what really amazed me out of the whole situation was the father, Bernard Kilpatrick, and I think everyone would agree, he was the puppet master. They were the puppets. And, you know, that's his father. He should have been a very positive mentor. Seeing his son going in the wrong direction, he should have stopped it rather than been an accomplice to it. But what I think would be appropriate as far as a sentence for Mr. Kilpatrick, Kwame, is maybe 12 to 15 years. And then, you know, they're going to have him on federal parole or whatever and make sure he makes restitution and everything, but admit guilt and what he did. But seriously, I think I cannot understand for the life of me why the father got the sentence that he got, because I mean, it's, you know, it's only he was observing all these goings on, and he is not a stupid man. He knew precisely what they were doing, and he did not make any attempt to stop it. He enriched himself, and he really belongs right in the cell with his son for just as many years, to be honest with you.
Well, I take it, John, obviously you're thinking that Mr. Kilpatrick, the father, received a sentence that was obviously, to you, too low.
The father only got, 18 months? My memory serves me correct.
You got to remember, he was in front of a jury, and the jury and his guidelines, I think, were lower than that. But the jury came back.
That's true. I think he was just a lot slyer than the other two, and he covered his tracks much, much better. But he, I know it's I can't prove it, and you're correct. A jury of his peers did find him not guilty, but you know, just common sense. He knew what was going on. He threw his son's life away. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you bring up several topics there, you know, and I can tell you this: I was firsthand because I was Bobby Ferguson's one of his trial attorneys in that case, and I will tell you this: as far as Mr. Kilpatrick, he had a great attorney, John Shea, and they found him guilty on one count of tax evasion. And, you know, at the end of all of that, I understand you got a pulse or a feel for what your thoughts are about what Mr. Kilpatrick and how he may have been, as you described it, the puppet master behind the strings. Truth about the matter is that the jury did come back. The judge went into what most people predicted to be someone that would not be sentenced to prison, was sentenced to prison. So I think the judge was probably along the lines of where you were at as far as your thoughts and process of what he believed. And maybe you two were on the same page. But the jury came back. As far as Kwame Kilpatrick, you know, that's a very interesting situation here. I mean, if you look at public corruption and the white collar crime for which he was convicted of, Go around the world. Go around the country. Go to the governor in Illinois who tried to sell a seat, right?
Look
at the time. Look at other people in D.C. and the like, and look at the time for which they were given compared to that of Mr. Kilpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
He did not kill mm-hmm. anybody. He didn't sell any drugs. He didn't do anything of those sorts.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know what, my thoughts, exactly. He did not kill anybody.
Right.
He still has, he could be a, you know, he could turn his, maybe, you know what, maybe it's, maybe that will happen, hopefully, but there is no parole, or is there any chance his sentence could be reduced?
Well, I mean, this is all going to be up. No, I mean, he's lost his appeals, so the only way this can happen is through the president. And the question is, if you look at the letter that was sent, and obviously how that has come across, the bigger question remains, what is the justification for the president to give Kwame Kilpatrick a reduction or basically pardon him for his crimes? And you see it happen all the time. Presidents have done this in the past, and whatever litmus test they may or may not have used, you know, you put one out there that, hey, listen, he has to admit to his guilt. But there's several factors that come into play. And when...
You know, another sad thing was, if he'd only just flown right, the sky would have been the limit for that guy.
I got to tell you.
Another sad fact.
Yeah, no, he was a very smart man. And I can tell you, very charismatic. And I have seen him woo a room of people that you would never have expected him to woo and go his way. So, yes, he had brilliance. I won't get into the Bobby Ferguson case just simply because I tried that case. And I right now am probably best served not to talk about Bobby Ferguson and the trial. That trial, just so you know, the one that I did was came out to a hung jury. We ended up with 11 jurors, there was a holdout on both sides. And then they retried that case, dismissed my count, and then tried him on the gun case and the money case, and he was found not guilty. He was convicted in the second trial of that with Kwame Kilpatrick. So, you know, I don't want to get into the Bobby case, but...
I understand. You know what? Hey, thanks for taking so much time with me, but I really think that, you know, maybe after 10 years, cut the guy a break or something just so he admits his guilt and let him try and do some good with the rest of his life. So, you know, you've got other callers, so let me get off.
John, I tell you what, thank you so much for... John, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this. We have several topics to cover. Call in at 1-800-859-0WJR. 1-800-859-0WJR. WJR. Thank you.
If you're seeking counsel, get to know Flood Law's Todd Flood. Call the office during business hours at 248-547-1032 or visit floodlaw.com. This is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. And now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. We're going to have Vicki Valentine call in today. She is running for Oakland County Circuit Court Judge. She has been a guest of the show before. She's running in a race where she has a candidate going up against her. And I can tell you this much, everywhere we have gone, Vicki Valentine has been endorsed. She's someone that is a longtime litigator, has handled complicated cases. She's one of the few races out there that is up for grabs and is an important seat. So we're going to get her on and speak with her. One of the cases that I was just talking about with you, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on court hears case of disabled Michigan girl and her dog. you know, this is a case that we see oftentimes, believe it or not, in housing complexes or apartments, and the discrimination that takes place when there is a leader dog or a dog that is there for special needs for a person, child, or the occupant of that dwelling place, the apartment, condominium, or the like. There is, it's rampant out there where they don't have people that need leader dogs or dogs to take care of their services and help them. Oftentimes are put behind the, you know, the person that doesn't have that challenge. And it is, I can't tell you how many times and how many phone calls I've taken, but here it's going all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And I'd like to hear from you on that issue. Vicki is about to call in here. She just texted me again. But I'd like to hear it from you, 1-800-859-0-WJR or 1-800-859-0-957. If you have questions for Vicki, we'd love to hear them. And, you know, your thoughts about this, these emails that are coming in and the investigation, was it right? Was it wrong? For the director of the FBI to publicly give a letter to, obviously, to Congress to let them know what was happening. I will tell you the long and short of it. To me, he was put into a somewhat of a you can't win. He obviously is in a position where he had testified and was under any continuing position of telling the truth and what emails may have been out there. He was put into a position where, you know, it's right before the election and it has caused a stir to move Hillary down and obviously Trump up. So tough issue, one that this guy couldn't have won either way. He would have been crucified if he didn't later on. And obviously, he's going through the wrath. But I think people may be missing the point with regards to that. We just lost. So we have her? No? All right. So anyway, so that's where we're at. You know, one of the things that is interesting here in Oakland County, a very dear friend, he's been on the show many of times, and he's one of the greatest public leaders we have in our state, and that's L. Brooks Patterson. You know, and he's running in a tight race, obviously, and what may happen if Oakland County turns, you know, the serious blue, does that put him into the hot seat? Well, I got to tell you something. He's had that problem before, and he's come out a winner. L. Brooks Patterson, I don't care what anyone says, he is by far and large one of the statesmen. I think he could have been a phenomenal governor, great in the national scene. He's brilliant, and for his position and his age right now, this is a man that still has it, still is smart as a whip. And his wisdom is not something that falls off a tree. He's forgotten more than most people have learned in that position. So, although it's going to be, and I have great respect for ex-state rep Vicki Barnett, but as it relates to L. Brooks Patterson, I think he carries the seat. I hope he does. He's been backed by many of us here. And I got to tell you, someone that truly is... For the citizens of Oakland County, has come through time and time again, I'm wishing him the best on Election Day. So I think we're having a little issue with bringing Vicki on, so we're going to come back right after this, and we'll finish up, and we'll have our judge candidate for the night, and I understand our professor from Yale is attempting to call in. He's telling me to stand by, so... We'll be right back right after this.
If you're seeking counsel, get to know Flood Law's Todd Flood. Call the office during business hours at 248-547-1032 or visit floodlaw.com. This is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. And now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. I just happened to check out this Johnson & Johnson verdict again, third time. They just hit for $70 million against a judgment, jury awards against awards for the plaintiff against Johnson & Johnson about the baby powder causing cancer. Three cases. You want to talk about proximate cause issues. They must have had some insane expert. Anyone familiar with that or want to talk about that, I'd be more glad to. 1-800-859-0WJR. We have a special guest with us tonight, Vicki Valentine, who's running for the Oakland County Circuit Court. I know she's been running hard. I know she's at events, and she's probably on fumes, but she's taking a minute to talk with us. Vicki, you with me?
I am. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So how goes the race, and what does a day consist of for someone that's running for judge?
Well, there is a lot involved. It's making sure your community knows who you are. The goal in me running for judge is to make sure that I can help people. This race is really about the community and not about me. And so I want to be accessible to people. I have been responding to all types of inquiries about how can I help the courts, what can I do, what are your plans? And it's just been such a pleasure to get to know the people and the community and tell them, how we can make everything consistent and give everyone a fair shot and have great courts and continue to have, the ability to serve the community. So that's what I've been doing. That's what I do day to day is I go to functions, I meet people.
What time do you get up in the morning?
I haven't been sleeping, so.
I bet. So, well, that's, here's the thing, and this is what irks a lot of lawyers or a lot of people oftentimes, is they don't know who they're voting for on the local bench, the district, or the, more importantly, probably widely more, I guess the void there is for the circuit court bench. People don't know who it is that they're voting for on the circuit court bench. They may know their city and may know who they're voting for the district court sometimes, but oftentimes they don't know for the who they're voting for the circuit court. And, we've endorsed you backed you as being the candidate for Oakland County in this seat, but tell the listeners, anecdotally, you got to hit. How many cities do you hit, and what is the big thing that people are asking you the most about your current position that we hopefully you take? What are those two things?
So the race is for the entire county, so it's Oakland County. The biggest thing is to understand that judges are nonpartisan, so we're on the back of the ballot. So if you're voting straight ticket, you have not voted for judges. So that's some of the things that, people are saying, well, if I vote this party or that party, did I vote for you? The answer is no. People want to know, what have you done in the community that I know that you'd be a great candidate or you're the right person for this? And I think that's one of the best questions that I received, Todd, because I didn't decide that I wanted to run for judge and all of a sudden in the last 6 months decide I want to give back to the community. My pro bono work and what I've done in the community dates back 17 years, before then, but that's how long I've been practicing.
Right.
So, I've done pro bono cases in federal court. I am a pro bono mentor to lawyers that are helping people through FLAP and other programs, and I'm the president-elect of the largest bar association in Michigan, which is the Oakland County Bar Association, which is such a big deal because if you think about it, I'm elected by attorneys for Oakland County. So
right.
We have a membership of over 3,000 attorneys who have elected me for over 10 years to serve on the board of directors, and now I'm slated to be president next year. So to me, that's the biggest compliment because across the board, I'm doing everything that I can to give back to the community and making sure that people have access to justice. I'm also on the foundation board. I'm a trustee, and that gives grants so that people can get into the community. So my goal my entire career has been, how do we make the courts better for the citizens? How do we get you into court? How do you get your day in court? You know, how can it run smoothly? How do we make sure that it's fair? How do you make sure it's heard? You know, we have people who come in and they are, they have to represent themselves because they can't afford a lawyer. Well, there's, you know, certain help that they need. I'd love to help them get in the right direction and be the judge who's patient and wants to hear everything, because I realize how important cases are. I practiced for 17 years, so I'm in front of the bench. I worked for a judge for 5 years, so I've been behind the bench seeing how things work, and I've done all kinds of law. So, and this is really important, as you know, Todd, in a circuit court seat, you can end up in on any bench, and so you really need to know what you're doing. And my experience is, as you know, broad and vast, and I've been in all different courts, and people want to hear about that. You know, what have you done? What can you do for us? What do you do in the community? And I'm proud of, you know, everything that I've done, and I would be so honored to continue to serve the people.
Well, you will. You know, I agree with you. One of the biggest testimonials to lawyers and to the listening public out there is when your own peer group puts you into a position that is really a representative of them, and you coming into the Oakland County Bar Association as president next year is a huge testament to what lawyers and judges and everybody that's part of the bar thinks about you. I'm going to ask you, you know, I'm going to catch you off guard here. I'm going to ask you a corny question, but, you know, Joe Sixpack out there, they have a lot of people have no concept oftentimes of who the person was and what anecdotally got them to the place that they're in now. But, you know, everyone went to law school. Some people went to law school that had this was my best, worst option, or that they really wanted to be a lawyer. They had no clue that they wanted to be a litigator or non-litigator, but they wanted to work into the field of some securities or whatever the case may be, and law was the vehicle for that. Other people say, hey, listen, I became a lawyer because I read and watched To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't know. But there's lots of little stories out there that allows someone to peek into Vicki Valentine's mind here about what was it that caused you to go into law in the first place?
My father, I think, is probably the biggest reason that I went into law, and he is a very well-respected lawyer in the area. But I would say my mother as well, because my mother was always big into community service and giving back and making sure that she could always help somebody and do something. So, I'm at this point in my life, combining both, carrying on in what my father has done with regard to representing people and making sure that their story is heard through the court system, and doing what my mother loved, which is making sure on any corner, on any level of life, she could help somebody. If she met you at a store, if she, you know, you were her best friend, if she could do something to help you, she would do whatever she could to make your burden easier. So I think, you know, at this point, I'm combining the two. And
well, I got to tell you something. I'll tell you, for all the thousands of listeners out there right now, Vicki, that's the biggest and best selling point ever, because it's the truth. And it's the character that has made you who you are, and a great lawyer. And I'm excited, and hopefully, soon you with the black robe on the Oakland County Circuit Court. So I know you're jamming. I heard you were at another function earlier, and I really appreciate you calling in. We'll be watching and making sure that everybody knows to put your name out there to vote for on this upcoming election. So
thank you. And if you don't mind me just talking about a couple endorsements real quick, and I don't have time to list them all.
Yeah. I know. But by all means.
Yeah. So as a lot of people know, but some don't, judges are nonpartisan. We are required to be nonpartisan. It's in our judicial canon, because I can't, fault somebody if you have one view or the other. We serve the community, and that means we serve everybody. But I'm the only candidate that has been endorsed by the Democratic Party, and I'm the only candidate that has been endorsed by the Republican Party. I'm also endorsed by Sheriff Bouchard and Jim Nash and Andy Meisner and Albert Patterson, MAJ, the UAW, the Teamsters, the building trade. So my support has been so far and wide, including 45 judges who have endorsed me. And I think, to me, I feel very honored to carry the support of people who don't have to endorse number one, or could it endorse?
Well, I think it goes. Yeah, no, it's well said. But more importantly, it speaks volumes for you. So, you know, the diversity of your support. And I'm glad you noted it for everybody to know, because it means a lot to every candidate to get and recognize the people that back you. So Godspeed to you. And we look forward to voting on the election day and getting you on the bench. So
thank you, Todd. And thank you for everything you do for the community, because you're a big pillar for us. And you know, you do a great job. You do hard work, and you do it nicely and honestly, and you're definitely someone that we look up to in the community.
I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, that, you know, I think speaks volumes, obviously, as several candidates, and we had our opponent on last time, and we welcome all candidates to come on, 1-800-859-0WJR. I think we have another caller coming in. I can't see, but Carl from Manchester. Carl, are you with me?
Yeah, I am, Todd.
Carl, how are you?
Oh, good.
Are you
good.
Calling about the Johnson & Johnson $70 million or something else?
No. I'm not interested in money. I'm just interested in the truth.
Good. Bring it out.
I know that I know you're a good attorney, and I know you're well-liked on radio as well as television, because they use you a lot, as well as a witness or somewhat. I've seen you on Channel 2, too, as well in the past.
What can
I
help you with?
I'm going to talk a little bit about the state and about the federal government in the state, in the circuit. Because when you can't get justice within the circuit, wouldn't proper procedure be, as a whistleblower, if you're not getting a fair hearing or a fair trial, wouldn't you leave this circuit to go to another circuit to find somebody that would be able to address the issues at hand that were criminal, like the Sixth Circuit going into the Second Circuit, which would be Indiana, and reporting the FBI that weren't doing their job in that circuit? Wouldn't that be a proper procedure?
Well, I'm trying to figure it out. So you're asking about redress.
But you're following basically a procedural in the law. If there's no order in the court,
yeah,
and there's no order within.
So, let me ask you this, Carl.
So you'd have to leave the circuit to find somebody at least that would listen to the validity and the evidence which was presented before the court.
Carl, let me ask you a simple, really, so I can break this down for you real quick. Are you talking about some anecdotal case that you were part of or someone was a part of that
governmental immunity. You're not allowed to governmental immunity. You have to ask the federal government for governmental immunity.
No, I don't know.
Carl, the state, it's only the federal government.
No. Carl, governmental immunity applies to government agencies that receive state or federal funds, not necessarily a federal case.
Not if it involves RICO.
Well, no, you have RICO cases.
That statute then is a federal issue.
No, you have RICO charges in the state.
Say that again?
You have RICO charges within the state in the criminal enterprise, the continuing criminal enterprise.
Yeah, but if the state's not following those charges and the FBI isn't doing their job, which we know now.
What's the beef, though? I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm addressing the Clintons, as well as some of the issues that in the past have taken place in certain judicial areas.
Carl, I got to tell you, I appreciate you calling in. Carl, I appreciate you calling in. I'll try to, address Carl's questions. But at the end of the day, redress for what he believes he's not getting a fair trial, it's called an appeal. So the appeal would go to one place or the other. Be it in the state court or the federal court. If it's in the federal court, it goes through the federal system. It's that simple. And if you want to change a venue, you have to make the motion for a change of venue. That's happening all over the place. It happened in the Kwame Kilpatrick case. It was denied. Whether or not he got a fair trial, the question became that you had to be living underneath a rock not to hear about that case when it was going on. But we picked a jury, and the jury and all sorts said and found that they could be fair, and that our circuit court has upheld as being Judge Edmonds made the right call. That goes without saying. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure where Carl was on that, but we got a few minutes left. We'll be right back after this. Call in 1-800-859-0WJR. It's 1-800-859-0957. And we'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to Behind the Bench, radio's most comprehensive legal forum, where you ask the questions and Todd Flood provides informal counsel. Submit your legal questions at 800-859-0WJR. And get to know Todd Flood at floodlaw.com. Now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. We had a few questions that came up, and one of the questions that just came up about the disabled young lady that wants her dog or needs her dog to assist her in school or in functions or in public, whether or not that fell under some sort of ADA claim, and obviously it does. And that is a case wherein the Supreme Court is going to say or is going to decide whether or not there is a discrimination in, of this young Miss Fry and her golden doodle, of whether or not there is discrimination against her for or is this something where it's not doesn't fall within you know, discrimination based on the fact that it's really a social thing and not an educational thing. And clearly there will be a lot of eyes on that case as it is going to make a big impact around around the country. So, and another person just asked me about the Court of Appeals coming in. Here's where I'm at in the Court of Appeals. This is a simple one for me. There's two judges that are there on the Court of Appeals. Cynthia Stevens, she's been a guest oftentimes in the show. She is she calls it the People's Court, the state of Michigan. She is a learned scholar, been a great judge, has practiced as in all facets, from being a trial lawyer to the district court to the circuit court judge to the Court of Appeals, and she's done a great job. Curtis Wildler, another Court of Appeals judge, he's running as well. This is all within the first district, and so for the Court of Appeals, it in the first district, Wayne County here, Cynthia Stevens and Curtis Wildler are two great judges that should remain on the bench. Now you have in the Third Circuit, this is you know, you got the incumbents, and not to vote for more than 16. That's easy, and you're all going to be put into the playbook there. There's no one running against the pack, so we're in a good spot. The issue becomes, really, for those challenging the open seats, and that is what we talked about before. And candidly, that is going to be really, it's going to be about name recognition. And here you go. You know, you have, is Robert Fracano a real judge? Is he going to make it? I don't think so. I think you got to look at Brian Morrow. You're going to look at he being a great judge. I got to believe Thomas Hathaway, great judge. Matthew Evans, great judge. These are three at the top that I think in that open seat, that those four seats, that's the best. You know, the hour goes by always too fast. And unfortunately, there's so much more to cover. I wish I could take all the calls or take all the text messages or emails to answer all the questions. But one of the biggest things we have going on right now that people need to pay attention to when they go to the voting booth is to look at the back of the ballot and make sure that you're educated on your judges and who you vote for. It makes the biggest impact in our local communities and in our state. And the ripple effect can go all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. So we'll be back next month with Behind the Bench and hopefully able to answer all the questions and decipher who won what.